Welcome to Sharing the Middle, where we share the messy middles of life. I'm Lacey, your friend in the middle and guide. And my claim to fame this week is really mastering my overnight curls. I mean, I woke up like this. And I can say that because I'm doing a video episode with this today. So if you're hearing this in audio and you want to go see me talk in on video, but not, you know what I'm saying, you can go to Sharing the Middle YouTube to see it. And part of the reason why I'm doing this as a video essay, video podcast, I don't know, is because if you don't know me and you don't know my story, this is a nice overview of where we are and how we got there. So this past Halloween marked my 3-year chronic illness anniversary. I've tried to come up with a better name for it and I just can't seem to. So that's what we got. Now, it's not like I got hit with my chronic illness on Halloween 2022. Is when I realized this is not little. It was that my whole life was changing and there was a before and an after. And I was in the after without realizing it. So yeah, I would say in, I believe it was like late August, early September 2022, I got sick with something. What it was, I don't know. It was not COVID, or at least that's what the tests kept telling me. And I got kind of better, but never fully better. I remember I was traveling for work. I went to Boston. I was so excited to go to Boston. I was going by myself. I was like, had this whole plan to like walk around and all this stuff. And even though I was better, I wasn't really fully better. And I couldn't do as much as I wanted. So I just kind of stayed in that space for a while. And then I continued to get worse. And there are like little, like, you know, when you look back at events, you can see certain plot points. So like my husband and I, we went to see a comedian. We saw my big thing. It was great. We had so much fun. And then we walked around in our downtown area. We lived in Cincinnati at the time. And there was something called Blink, which is this really cool like light and music festival. And I thought I had what was a panic attack during that. Looking back now, I don't necessarily think that's what it was. Anyway, I just started having profound fatigue, like could not get up fatigue. I had to take time off of work. I thought that I like ran what I thought was an anxiety attack. I thought this is physical manifestations of my anxiety. I couldn't figure out why I was so anxious because I didn't feel it. It was just a lot of those things. And then I took some time off of work. I'm like, maybe if I eliminate the stress of work, that'll help. And I didn't. It's trick or treat on Halloween 2022. I know I can't handle going out with my kids. They were like 18 months and 3-ish at the time. And so I had my parents come down to help my husband. And I'm laying on the couch after they get back. And my mom looks at me and she's like, this kind of reminds me of what happened to your sister. Now, my sister has her own chronic illness story and all that stuff, but she also kind of had a before and after. And when she said that, it hit. Because my mom's a very pragmatic woman. Like, she's a you get shit done kind of lady. And so for her to step back and be like, I think this is bigger than you're letting yourself believe, that was huge. The next day, I got up, tried to do some work from home, and I couldn't lift my arms. And so that's why it was just such a marker for me of what was going on. And I started having periods of what felt like paralysis because I've had passing out before, not to brag. I have a whole host of other things wrong with me. My husband liked to joke that I was the healthiest sick person he knew, or the sickest healthy person he knew. And this passing out experience, I had a lot of the same warning signs, but when I would pass out, I would still be conscious, like I could hear what was happening. I just couldn't move my body. So those happened more and more frequently. I started having more, I got these like facial tics. One time it was like whole body tics. We went to the hospital, nothing came of it. Unless you're dying, they can't really do anything for you. I started seeing specialists, cardiologists, neurologist, a rheumatologist, and as any chronically ill person trying to figure out what's going on would tell you, all these tests are coming back that everything's normal and you're not normal. I will say some of my tests were coming back off, especially like lymph nodes or immune system being something going on there, but not enough to really worry about anything. We did MRIs. I did have one doctor say after all these tests, well, at least we know it's not serious. And I had this moment of like, I've lost my life. Like at this point, I could not work consistently. I basically lost my job because I couldn't work. Luckily, my husband has been able to support us and that kind of stuff, but severely changed our life and level of comfort. We had to cancel a trip that we had planned that was like a once-in-a-lifetime trip. And ultimately, through process of elimination, I was diagnosed with myalgic encephalomyelitis, I can never say it, or chronic fatigue syndrome. And really, it was a process of elimination, but I meet all of the diagnostic criteria for it, which means profound fatigue. And when I say fatigue, I'm not just like, oh man, I'm tired. When I have my CFS or ME-CFS fatigue, you know when you have the flu and you're like, my body is so tired, it can't move. It is like that, but like all of the time. There's sleepy tired, and then the level of fatigue that I'm talking about that's like, no, I can't move. Post-exertional malaise, which is its own little mind fuck, where it is increased symptoms, but it's 24 to 48 hours afterwards, and you essentially have what feels like the flu, but you can't, like, it takes you a while to figure out what triggered it. Trust me, figuring that stuff out, banana pants. Brain fog, orthostatic intolerance, which basically means, like, standing. So one of my previous conditions, you heard me mention passing out, was officially diagnosed with vasovagal syncope, which just means I have a tendency to pass out. My body's a little dramatic. Now that increased. So I can barely, heat is a big old problem for me. Showers are like the devil because it's just heat and standing up, two things to make me want to pass out. I bought a shower chair and that changed a lot of things for me. So yeah, post-exertional malaise, the static intolerance, profound fatigue for over 6 months. Which I did have that. A lot of chronic fatigue syndrome folks have a before and after like me. Long COVID, a main component of it is ME-CFS. So if that gives kind of a realm for you. Anyway, just all these different things. And the hard part about ME-CFS is it's a little backwards in that you would think things like gradual exercise and that kind of stuff would make you better. Nope, it actually can make you worse. And so the biggest recommendation that they can give you is called pacing. And it's learning what your body and your energy can handle. And it wasn't until I really stopped trying to go to specialists and all that stuff, but stopped and tried to learn to listen to my body. Because I found out through this process that I had trained myself to not listen to my body. I had spent my entire life not trusting my body. You've already heard me say how I was sick and things like that. I was constantly second guessing the feedback I was getting from my body. I still struggle with this 3 years later, by the way. Proactively laying down, figuring out how to make as much of my life as easy as possible, eliminating barriers, all of these things were so important. Now I want to pause here. During this time, I built a business with my dear friend Sarah. We have the Joyful Support Movement, and I started sharing the middle and writing about it with the middle, and that became such a necessary part of my life because I could still be productive in ways that I could figure out how to meet my own expectations. I worked with this wonderful woman named Carrie Downey of Clarity Company, and was able to do some contracting work for her. So we were able to have some income. In life, got normal. We moved in that time. My husband got a new job. We moved. I'm building this business with my new dear friend. Sarah and I have never met in person before. This still blows my mind that she is probably, outside of the people who live in my house, the person I talk to the most. And I've never met her in person before. And we have a business that I'm so proud of together. And our relationship is what really launched that business.
Life doesn't come with an instruction manual, but it should come with people who've got your back. That's the Joyful Support Village, where self-help meets community support. Get access to courses, worksheets, and step-by-step resources that can actually work for your real life. Join daily conversations where people share what's helping them. Connect in regular gatherings with experts and others in the trenches of life. It's where you can stop trying to figure out everything alone and start moving forward with support that fits you. It's free to start, and paid memberships begin at just $10 a month. Join us at village.joyfulsupportmovement.com to join. Give what you can, take what you need. See you in the village.
I hated being pregnant. Remember, I have two kids at this point, and I hated pregnancy so much, and pregnancy was the closest thing to how I was feeling during this time. It was the passing out, all that stuff, everything got worse. I threw up all the time. It was awful. So my husband and I, even though I literally had my daughter, my second child, and looked at him and said, yeah, we'll do this again, because we knew we wanted a third child for our family, that it didn't feel complete. But we kind of looked at each other realistically and said, hey, it does not feel responsible to have another child. With our financial constraints, with my energy constraints, all of those different things. So I had an IUD and we just kind of went from there. Then I started to feel nauseous. It was July 2024 at this point. And I was like, there's no way I'm pregnant. But you're a woman with anxiety, you may also just worry that you're pregnant all the time because it's been like drilled into you that you could get pregnant. A long time ago, bought this giant pack of cheapo pregnancy tests, like 100. So I could take them whenever this happened to assuage my nervousness. And for some reason, my husband was home a little early from work before he went to go get our kids. And I said, I'm going to take this test. And he was like, whatever. And I took it and it was positive. And we were both shocked because I had an IUD. That is one of the most responsible ways of preventing pregnancy. You can't really fuck that up. I was pregnant. Now, he did not believe me at first. Went and got multiple pregnancy tests. And they all came back the same. And I was pregnant. I wish I could, have words to explain what that feeling was like. Of scared, right? Like, how the hell did this happen? I mean, I know how it happened, but you know. But also, excited, right? We wanted a third child. Terrified, right? Because could there be complications because of the IUD and all this different stuff? And so we started our journey of figuring life out with a lady with ECFS being pregnant. When I am faced with a challenge that I cannot do anything about, my strategy to deal with that is just to research the crap out of it. I want to know everything that I can so that when I can do something, I'm ready. I did research about women with ECFS and pregnancy. And the research is very little to start with. But the most helpful thing that I read was that you essentially have the chance of your ECFS getting better, staying the same, or getting worse. Literally, a third of women that they studied got better. A third of women stayed the same. A third of women got worse. And so knowing me in pregnancy, I already thought this was going to be the most challenging time of my life. And I was just aiming to be the same. I didn't need to be better. I just needed to be the same. I needed to not be worse. As we get into my pregnancy, I actually did start feeling better. My husband and I remember that trip that we had to cancel. We had to reschedule it or we would have lost a bunch of money. And so we went on our European vacation when I was 4 months pregnant. And I think the universe's timing was part of it because I did better than I probably would have done without being pregnant, which blows my mind. I was still me as a pregnant person, which is still awful, but it worked out. And I ended up being okay and feeling like I really had gamed the system, right? I wanted a third child, but I was trying to be responsible. And here I was, having my third child, having done everything I was supposed to do, but still having it. So I couldn't even be mad. I'm getting emotional because I'm just so, In March, I had my daughter Violet, and she is wonderful. She's the light of this household. She's a star. Everyone loves her. And it has been just the greatest gift because not only do I have this beautiful baby who is the cutest baby in the world and delights everyone around her all the time, but also breastfeeding can be a time where women with ME/CFS do better. And I am exclusively breastfeeding. And I will tell you, for the first 4 or 5 months, I felt better than I had felt in years. Now, my ME/CFS symptoms have slowly been creeping back in a bit more. I have to be more careful. I have to get back to my pacing. But here I am, 3 years later. I have a beautiful baby that I never thought I would have because of this illness. And not only did I get the gift of this baby, but I have the gift of feeling a little bit better. I had the gift of that trip. And so I'm just so thankful to the universe for that experience. Now, if you're wondering, what happened to the IUD? That's a great question. The IUD disappeared. I learned later, and this is a PSA for anybody else, that you do have a higher chance of expulsion of an IUD. I almost said USB. I mean, you're supposed to inject bees, but not like that. Anyway, there's a higher chance of expulsion if you use menstrual cups, because menstrual cups use suction as a way to create a seal, and sometimes that can pull on the IUD. Our working theory is that when I used menstrual cup at some point, the IUD came out with it, which I guess just speaks to how intense my periods must be. But I will say, we were traveling when I had my previous period. You know, when you're traveling, you're not paying attention as much. It must have happened then. I truly believe it happened then, and then I got pregnant, because that's kind of how the other two went, as we are fertile people. So yeah, so just try out menstrual discs instead. That's where you're at. We did decide that this cannot happen again. So I did have a C-section with Violet, which meant that while they were in there, I asked them to, why don't you just sear some stuff off and my tubes are now tied. A C-section too, because this could happen to me again, because that's who I am. It's not going to happen to him. My husband will be getting a vasectomy soon-ish.
Are you tired of scrambling to track your baby's daily routines? Meet Cubtail, the smart parenting assistant that revolutionizes how you monitor your little one's needs. With Cubtail's innovative tracking buttons and easy-to-use app, You can effortlessly log feedings, diaper changes, and sleep patterns with just one click. No more fumbling with your phone at 3 a.m. Join thousands of parents who've discovered the peace of mind that comes with Cubtail. Visit www.cubtail.com/laceyshares
and use our link
to start your parenting journey with less stress and more joy. Cubtail, making parenting simpler, one click at a time.
If you would have told me, we'll say 3.5 years ago at this point, this is where I would be, that my chronic illness would give me the opportunity, we'll say, to become the person that I always thought I could be. That like voice in the back of my head about, wouldn't life be so cool if you could be like a writer and live to your own schedule and do your own things? If you would have told me 2 years ago that I was going to have a beautiful baby and that it would improve my quality of life and not make it worse, don't think I would have believed you. I'm so grateful for this experience, but I also want to recognize this sucks. I need that to be very clear. I would not wish this on anyone. Would I have created Sharing the Middle and the Joyful Support Movement without my chronic illness? Probably not. I don't know if I would have been that brave. I think now I could say that I would have been that brave, but now I could be that brave without the chronic illness. But before, I don't think I could. I was so focused in on what I should be doing by other people's standards and what life should look like. And the chronic illness really knocked me on my ass and said, nope, you got to figure out a different way anyway. Is it working? I don't know. Maybe. Hopefully. It's working for me. I would like for it to work for more people and for it to be able to support my family financially, and it's gonna happen because I still don't think I can work traditionally. I need to be able to have the flexibility to be like, nope, I can't do that today, and that's not fair to coworkers. What I'm creating can do that, and I'm hopeful that it'll make us money to be able to live and not worry like we do now, but that's okay. Yeah, 3 years, man. There's been a lot of other titles during this time that I've come to own. Like, yes, I am disabled. I have an invisible disability. My condition affects my day-to-day life. That's disability. It took me a really long time to be able to say that. I didn't feel like I was bad enough. And that's not helpful. I mean, do people have it worse than me? Absolutely. Look at me right now. I'm sitting here. I look great. I have a baby. I'm still scared. You know, I'm still breastfeeding. Violet's almost 8 months. We'll probably at least go a year. With my other two, I went 13 months and they like weaned themselves. But I was pumping part-time and breastfeeding part-time. And this time now, I'm breastfeeding all the time. So it's a little different. I'm a more empathetic and thoughtful parent. I'm not the energetic parent that I thought I would be or wanted to be. Like, I so thought I was going to be classroom mom, and I can't that. So that's been hard, but I'm figuring it out. This whole experience too has really just shown me, no matter what your belief is, and even if it is coincidence, I love and appreciate the opportunities and the humor that the universe has had for me in this process. And that middle journey that I started 3 years ago is still very much true. And that the end, or my before, I thought that was an end, but it was really just a beginning to something new. And just the giant middle of my life. Anyway, that's Sharing the Middle. And that's a 3-year Lacey update, my story. I have spent the past 3 years sharing my story so that other people could feel seen, so that maybe if you're in the midst of something even remotely close, you can see somebody else going through it. It's not pretty. I don't have like a checklist of like, this is what you do. Like, no, you have to figure it out. But we are in it together and we can figure it out. And that's what we're trying to build over the Joyful Support Movement. And the Village is a place for us all to be able to come together and do that, because it would be very easy for me to judge myself. And I have, and I still do. But creating a space for no shame has gotten me to the most mentally healthy place I have ever been. And that I'm so proud of so much of the work that I've done on myself in this process, that while my body may not be as healthy, my spirit, my mind, so much of me is thriving. My family's thriving. And this is a really lovely moment for me to be able to just pause and be so thankful for the messiness of this middle. And I hope the mess continues. If you have a messy middle you want to share, you can always go to our website, ajoyfulsupportmovement.com/submit. We've got some different forms on there, and one of them is being a guest and sharing the middle. Share your story. Help somebody else feel seen. Make sense of your own experience. That's been one of the biggest things, is just by sharing my story, I've made sense of myself, and it has gotten me to where I've gotten to. So articulate. Anyway, thanks for sharing the middle with me today and for hearing me yap about my experience. I hope you were able to get something out of it. I know I did, so thank you. And very important, I have to go lay down now. This was a lot. So that's a sweatshirt that I made that I am proud of. I have to go lay down now. And that's how I manage chronic illness. Hey, thanks for sharing the middle with me today. I hope our conversation resonated with you wherever you are in your own messy middle. Make sure to visit us at sharingthemiddle.com to find show notes, resources, and other information about today's episode. And you can always submit your own middle story for a future episode through the website. Your voice matters, and we want to hear it. Make sure to connect with us on social media at Joyful Support Movement or me at Lacey Shares to continue the conversation. You can always support the show by leaving a review, sharing with a friend, or joining the Joyful Support Village. And remember, the middle can feel a little less messy when we share it together.